Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Indie Business Radio for May 7th, 2007. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Today's show is sponsored by Essential Labs, the leader in natural personal care formulating and contract packaging for businesses small and large. Visit Essential Labs for more information. Gas prices have topped $3 a gallon in much of the nation. Jobs are harder to come by for everyone, including older workers who have to figure out how to support themselves long past the traditional retirement age. Food prices and increases in the cost of health care are beyond the reach of most families and children. With children, to be sure, change is all around us. But according to today's guest, there's no reason to be scared. Instead, in our fast-paced world, it's important to learn how to adapt quickly to change so you're not left behind. To help us address this important issue from the perspective of indie business owners, today's guest is Barbara Kay. She is an executive coach and trainer with Advantage Coaching and Training. She regularly speaks for corporate groups and professional associations and has published articles in professional publications and has been featured as a coach in Working Woman magazine. She is the author of The Top Performer's Guide to Change, which discusses the importance of adapting to change quickly and seamlessly. She's here today to help us tackle this important issue. Barbara, welcome to Indie Business Radio.
Thank you very much for having me. It's such fun to be on, and I loved your thought about developing life so everybody can enjoy it. That's what I do as a coach. I help my clients do that.
Great. Well, we're certainly happy to have you. Do join us by calling your question or comment in, 800-773-0355. Barbara, change. Everybody kind of knows what it means from a dictionary perspective, but what sorts of things would we be surprised to know about change?
Well, I think we would be surprised to know that most people are not very good at it. I think sometimes we have a tendency to think the grass is greener on the other side, and, you know, maybe this other person over here is so much better at it than I am. You know, I don't particularly like it, but other people do it very well. The reality is nobody does change perfectly. In the beginning of my book, I talk about people having a tendency either to be homesteaders or pioneers. And I think of people as homesteaders as those who like to stay in one place and build something, and the kind of like the homesteaders in the early part of our building of our country. And then pioneers are folks that, you know, were always on the move. They were the ones that were exploring and kept going out farther and farther and across the Mississippi and out to the Rockies and eventually to the Pacific. And people who are homesteaders might look at pioneers and say, well, they're better at change. People who are pioneers thinking, well, I'm great at change, but they have downsides too. So the reality is nobody is really great at it. And that's why we dove in and wrote this book.
So, Barbara, if you're looking at an entrepreneurial person, a small business owner who's bootstrapping their business, you know, there's no million-dollar angel investors hovering around, which category do they fit into typically?
Well, I would expect them to typically fit into pioneer because they are diving into a new field, most likely, a new business, and forging ahead. And so probably your listeners who are entrepreneurs, and I have entrepreneur clients, would fall into the pioneer category. And so the great thing about pioneers is they don't need an awful lot of information to go ahead. They'll go ahead a little bit in the dark. And so that in that way, change is maybe not quite so frightening for them as for those folks who are much more homesteading. However, they have some things they have to watch out for, the pioneers do. Would you like to know about that?
Yeah, I would like to know about that. I'd also like to know why it is. I want to pick up on something you said at the beginning. You said that we'd be surprised to know that most people aren't very good at it. Why is that, do you think, considering the fact that life is pretty much one big series of changes?
You know, I think we all have this myth that things are going to always stay the same, and somehow we're surprised when it doesn't. And we get lulled into this feeling of, whatever's happening now is going to continue to happen. And we have that same problem when things are beginning to change. If things are going well in our life, we think, wow, this is great. You know, we're just crossing our fingers and hoping we can just go on this nice little ride for a while. When things begin to change, we have the same problem again, and we begin to think nothing will ever settle down again.
Mm-hmm.
We'll always be in change. It'll never be fixed. Have you ever had that experience? I've certainly had that experience where something starts to become a little challenging, and I think, when is this ever going to end? Is it ever going to end? So
absolutely.
I think human beings just have a tendency to not realize there's going to be something different around the corner.
Right, and you know, Barbara, when you're an indie business owner, can you comment on how fast these changes come? I mean, you described the homesteaders and the pioneers, and when you are a pioneer, the changes just, they come rapidly. From the moment you start your business, there's some sort of change that you have to respond to. What sorts of key things can indies keep in mind when they're sort of dealing with all these changes? They're wearing all the hats, so the changes are coming from everywhere.
Yes, and I have a great deal of respect for entrepreneurial, my clients who are entrepreneurs and your listeners who are entrepreneurs, because the pace of change is just sped up incredibly. With the advent of the Internet, now everything comes to us instantaneously, and the expectation is that we're going to be ready and we're going to respond instantaneously because somebody sent us an email or somebody was able to have us look at something on the Internet. So probably the most important thing for people to think about in change is for them to think that these are not necessarily things that are just happening to them. When things come at us that quickly, it's very easy for us to shift into a victim mode where we feel that, oh my goodness, I'm overwhelmed, all these things are happening to me. And it's very important for people to realize that their perception of change is the most important thing they can do at the get-go, is to focus on how am I perceiving this, because that will set the stage for their thinking, their feelings, and their actions forward. If they have negative perceptions, it sets up a bad pattern, and if they can shift their perceptions to positive, it will be much more productive.
And Barbara, in terms of shifting to the positive, what specifically do you mean? How do you do that?
Well, the very first thing is to notice what's going on in our head. I'm sure all of our listeners have seen some version of CNN or Fox News. Have you noticed that there's always some sort of trailer that's running along the bottoms of the news screen? And in our heads, we have trailers. And the trailers tend to be commentary on what's happening in our life, like a little voice in our head that's telling us what we think about these things. And those trailers can be very negative. For instance, if an entrepreneur gets up in the morning and five things have happened before he even got to the office, he's going to have a trailer about those things. And the trailer might be, this is awful, this is terrible, I don't like this, this is a bad thing. Well, those negative trailers have a tendency to frame our entire way of thinking, feeling, and acting around something.
So do they also cause you to lose your focus?
Yes. They can be very, very distracting, especially...
You know, Barbara, if I could mention, just last night I was watching a CNN package on the television about one of the tornadoes, and they had a really, I mean, it's such a disaster and so sad when things like that happen, but there's such an interesting phenomenon of nature. They had a beautiful close-up. Some person was crazy enough to actually drive their truck fairly close to the tornado and take some videotape. So they had a really beautiful picture of this tornado tearing through the heartland, and at the bottom, at a CNN logo and some other language about some show that was coming up in an hour.
Yeah.
And it was covering up a quarter of the tornado. And I turned the channel. That's why I was like, you know, that's so interesting. And quickly, that trailer just made me totally lose interest in what I had been focusing on.
Absolutely, and that's a great example. And I don't know about anybody else, but sometimes I find it so annoying because I can't focus on the program I'm supposed to focus on because the trailer keeps running along the bottom. Mm. And so the first thing you can do in change is to notice your trailer. What are the fleeting impressions, feelings, or thoughts that come to you about what is happening? And if you have a tendency to have them come at you as if you were a victim, or as if these are terribly always awful negative things. The trailers in our heads have a tendency to be kind of extreme. They kind of be black and white in their thinking, in our thinking. And if we have a tendency to be negative in our trailers, we tend to get much more reactive. We tend to operate more out of fear, and they can distract us from what's really important.
So the first thing is to notice that the trailer is happening.
Notice that it's happening, and I've been on the radio before, and I'll tell my listeners here, if you don't notice it right away, don't worry, it will come back. These are like little tapes in our heads, and we may have missed it the first time, but trust me, it's on repeat. It will come back around again. And what you want to do is notice these flashes of how you're thinking. Sometimes they're cognitive and perceptual in a sort of a comment that you're making to yourself, like, this is terrible, or I'm upset about this. And sometimes it can be a flash of feeling. It could be a flash of fear or a flash of anxiousness.
Yeah. Barbara, let's put this in the context of a very big change that's coming up that's going to affect all of us, but which, of course, is going to affect small business owners in a marked way, and that is the increase in postage.
Ah.
That's coming up. Like, so you're rolling along. You've been in business for a couple of years. You've figured out your costs. You know how much it's going to cost to ship everything and package everything, and you're finally getting to the point where you're going to be able to pay yourself a salary. And then the post office, which maybe you rely on for your shipping, is putting in a pretty big increase there, which is going to change your business. How can you give us an example using your trailer analogy of how a small business owner can, you know, continue to be effective and efficient and not let that sidetrack?
Well, one of the things that happens is when we operate out of fear, like, oh, no, the postage is going to go up. Everything is going to be awful. My shipping costs are going to go through the roof. I won't be able to manage. That's the kind of trailer that would come along. We tend to lose creativity. The psychologists and the sociologists who study people have discovered that when we are in a mode of fear, we lose our ability to think creatively. So one of the first things you can do is notice that trailer and then try to reframe it or reshape it in a way that's true but also much more productive. So rather than thinking, this is awful, my shipping costs are going to go out of sight and I won't be able to pay myself, which is a pretty fear-inducing thought, I would shift it around to, what is the way you can creatively solve this?
Mm-hmm.
What is a way I can reduce my shipping costs, or how can I reach my customers in a more creative way? And perhaps I can't reduce my shipping costs if I'm actually shipping product, because the product does need to get to the customer. But if I'm using postage for marketing or advertising, are there different avenues for me to use in order to get my customers without using the same amount of postage?
Right.
So rather than taking on this is terrible, awful, think, okay, what is true about this? And what's true about this is it's a challenge. And the next level would be how to be productive about it, which might be, let's get together as a team, whatever team you have, and think creatively about how to reach our customers without overreaching our budget.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And, you know, it makes me think of another question. I was at a conference over the weekend, and I was talking with some women, of course, who are small business owners or indie business owners, dealing with some of the changes in economics, a few, you know, the things I talked about at the intro to the show, the gas prices and the economy, you know, seeming to be on such shifting sand these days. And one of the things they were sharing was, you know, that their spouses were facing, you know, early layoffs or buyouts without many benefits in the bank. And, of course, some of these business owners have small businesses that they're kind of bootstrapping until they can quit their jobs or go part-time. And we were talking about, you know, the frustration, and they're not getting the raises they used to get, and their employers are saying, okay, you have to pay for more of your health care. You know, I'm going to take more money out of your biweekly paycheck for your health care. And everything's just kind of trickling away to so much less, and they're still working just as hard. And those are big changes. So, Barbara, how do you, I mean, I guess you're talking about, instead of focusing on the change, focus on what you can do in spite of the change.
Right. And in the book, in the beginning, talks a lot about change fears and change dangers. Towards the end of the book, it talks about how to work through the change. And one of the things that is very powerful for people, is for them to realize they have 100% control over three areas.
We're going to cover those. We have to take a quick break. This is a good time so we can get your pens out there, everyone in Indie Business Land, and get these three areas down when we come back from our first break. This is Indie Business Radio. I'm your host, Donna Maria. We'll be right back.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to Indie Business Radio. We're here with Barbara Kay, the author of The Top Performer's Guide to Change. And Barbara, before we took our break, you were getting ready to share with us the three areas that we have 100% control over, and we definitely want to know what they are.
Yes, as we talked about before, a lot of change comes at people, and because it feels like it's happening to us, we sometimes get into a victim mode, and we don't have the understanding that we have a lot of control. And so in the book, I talk about how we have 100% control over three very critical areas, and that's 100% control over what you choose, 100% control over what you believe, and 100% control over how you act. And if you put those three things together, that's a pretty powerful combination. And if we can focus on those things that we can control, what we choose to do, how we believe, and how we act, we can have a lot more sense of personal power and effectiveness rather than getting into a mode of, I'm just a victim to these things that are happening to me.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we were talking about before was all of the changes that are happening to people as they're trying to bootstrap their business and they might still be working at a full or part-time job on the side. Change sometimes is a really powerful opportunity for people to make deep choices in their life and evaluate their values. I have clients, and executive coaching clients, who feel like their values and their work are on a disconnect. And mm-hmm. sometimes the change is a great opportunity for people to step back and say, what do I really, really want out of my life? Mm-hmm. And if things are getting squeezed, what do I really, really value, and what can I get rid of? It's
That's
amazing.
That's a great point. How many people know people who've been laid off of their jobs and they started their own business?
Yeah.
Not just out of necessity, but because it was a great time to make a good change.
They were put in a position where they were no longer comfortable and used that to seize the opportunity. Can I tell you a little story?
Would you please?
I have a client who I call my gold medal client. He is totally awesome. I'm just thrilled to have him as a client. He is in financial services, and he's one of these clients that always felt like his personal passions and his business life were kind of on a disconnect. Mm-hmm. And about 6-9 months ago, his boss came to him and said, you know, you're really not cutting it in the office here. Your performance is very low. And he decided, I'm not going to take that as a negative and become a victim. I'm going to shift that around to become positive. He wasn't going to just be defeated by that. So he decided to hire a coach, and he looked around and he found me. And we've been coaching since last fall. And he has taken the opportunity to really evaluate his values and sit and look at his business, and he was able to integrate his values into his business. For a time, we wondered if he might leave his business, but he made a choice to be able to integrate them, and he just told me a week or so ago that through our coaching and through his making different choices and looking at his business life differently and integrating his values more directly into his business life, he has increased his performance and production 30% in the first quarter of this year.
Just in one quarter?
One quarter, 30%.
Amazing.
Because he decided, first of all, I'm not going to be defeated. That was the number one choice. He wasn't going to be a victim. He was going to make something happen. And then in our work, he very proactively went after how am I going to integrate my passions with my work life.
Mm-hmm.
And he did that, and now he's going gangbusters.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And see, that's very powerful, what you just shared, the choices that he made and how he adjusted them to his belief system and then acted on them.
And for a time, we wondered if he might change jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And that could have been an absolute choice he would have made.
Right.
And for some people, maybe that's what they will do. For him, as a financial advisor, if you know anything about financial advisors, people have somewhat independence in creating who is their going to be client base and what kind of customers they would go after. And
mm-hmm.
this gentleman decided to integrate his values into his customer business, and now he's really excited. Instead of thinking that there is a disconnect, he's thrilled.
Well, I guess it just goes to show us all how much personal power we have over our circumstances, even though we can't control all of them.
No, but we can control a lot more than we realize. And
mm-hmm.
you can control how you think about something. You can control how you act around it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can control what you do forward. So if you think about that in a period of change, if you focus on what you can control and every day think about what can I control and what can I do about it, you will feel so much more empowered than just thinking through, this is all happening to me.
You know, I can only imagine how you talked about your client who's in the financial services industry. I can only imagine how many people, even if you're not a small business owner, can benefit from that paradigm shift and viewing the world through the glasses that you just described, particularly in the area of finances. I was helping a friend of mine not too long ago to kind of go through her checkbook and her debit card and try and see where she was spending too much money. So I made some lists for her, and we kind of sat down and went through what was going on. And she said to me, you know, I'm just like my mom.
Hmm.
I'm awful with money. And it was almost like she was resigned to repeating the behavior. And so what you're saying, this kind of paradigm shift, I'm going to have to make sure I share it with her because she's got more control over it than she's given herself credit for, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And you just named her trailer. I'm just like my mom. I'm awful with money. Now, you know, she's probably not awful with money, but she has that trailer running in her head. I'm awful with money. And so the first thing that she can do is shift that paradigm. What's absolutely 100% true for her? It may be 100% true. She doesn't like checkbooks. And that's
right.
not her biggest thrill, to balance the checkbook. For
right.
personally, I don't like balancing the checkbook.
Join that club, right?
That's a whole lot different than saying, I'm awful with money.
Yeah.
That's a whole huge value statement and judgment on yourself that puts you in a really bad place.
Yeah.
So rather than saying, I'm awful with money, you can say, yeah, I'm not great with my checkbook, but here's what I can do
mm-hmm.
differently.
Mm-hmm.
Some people write down everything they spend. Some people only use cash and they don't use a credit card because that's a boundary that helps them. There's lots of things they can do to get more control. When I do executive coaching with people, there's no one-stop shopping and there's no one-size-fits-all.
Mm-hmm.
So I find that my clients all have different preferences and different needs, and we find the thing that supports them
mm-hmm.
and helps them move forward, and it's different for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Barbara, I know you do a whole lot of work with you've been talking about leaders. And I know you do a lot of work that people with people who are leaders. And most indie business owners are leading not only their business, but they're also playing a leadership role in their family.
Mm.
They're sort of double leaders and double whammies day in and day out. They're taking the reins. What sorts of tips can you offer for people who have this kind of consistent pressure and stress, not that it's negative stress, but just this consistent stress applied in their lives?
Well, I think there is great power in being a leader, and one of the things that I discovered when I was doing the research on the book, as a matter of fact, the last chapter is all about how to be a leader during change, mm-hmm. is that everybody thinks the CEO or the president of the company is the one in charge of the change. And the reality is people follow the leader that is directly in front of them. If you are a first-line supervisor or a mid-level manager or leading your troops at home, people are following what you are doing. So for leaders, the most important thing for them to realize is they have a tremendous amount of influence on the people directly around them.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, can I tell another story?
Please, they're the best.
I have another client I went up to talk about change, and this is a worldwide insurance company, and they had been through huge, huge amount of change in like 18 to 24 months, literally changing CEOs, changing business strategies, turning around and changing things back again. They had been through enormous change, and I was asked up to talk to a group of mid-level managers, and as I was talking with them, they were just desperately trying to pump me for information about how to work with their people. And what they didn't quite realize initially is they had intuitively done some of the most powerful things in being leaders as change. First of all, they were very loyal to the organization. Even though they had had all this tornado of change, they really were optimistic that the organization was a good and strong organization. And they were communicating that out to their people. And I looked at them and I said, you're incredible, because that is the most important thing you can do initially, is show optimism to the people out that you're working with. If you're walking around with a black cloud over your head, then your mood is going out to everybody around you. Mm-hmm. So one of the most important things leaders can do is be optimistic, because people will follow their direct boss's mood. The second thing these people told me was that they had spent a lot of time talking to their direct reports, communicating as much as possible, and unfortunately, they sometimes had to communicate bad news, and that was discouraging to them. And I said, you know what? You guys don't realize it. That's like the number two thing that you need to do, is communicate, over-communicate, communicate as much as possible, because people are much happier when they're not in the dark. Even if the communication isn't happy news, it's better than no news. And the third thing they were doing really well was that they had a sincere desire to support their people, and they were doing everything they could to help their people through it. And they were not being Pollyanna. They were not walking around as if everything was perfect. They were being very realistic in their assessment that this was difficult, and they were communicating, hey, we know this is difficult, but at the same time, they were reaching out and doing everything they could to support these folks. And I think that's why they were able to succeed so well despite the very tumultuous change. Intuitively, they had done some of the most important things. So be positive and optimistic. Be a guide. Communicate as much as possible. Show real care for your people. And then another thing that's very helpful is speak to the personal. One of the things that organizations and have a tendency to do is talk about how the change will benefit the product, or the change will benefit the bottom line, or the change will benefit the organization. And you know what? The reality is most of us are pretty selfish. We really want to know how the change will benefit us. What will it mean to me? So one of the great things a leader can do, even when I mean leader, I mean leader in any part of the organization, not just the CEO, is speak directly to the personal in the group around them. Tell the group, how is this going to improve your life? If there's any way it's going to help them, then let them know that. And it might be, if the organization doesn't change, we won't survive and you won't have a job. It might be that bottom
That's
line.
That's pretty clear.
So we need to be able to speak directly to how it will benefit and impact the person, because it's the person. person who cares about themselves, they don't ultimately care about, you know, the bottom line as much as they care about their bottom line.
We're going to take a short break, but first I want to tell you that on Monday, May the 14th, in honor of Mother's Day, we will have some mothers here on Indie Business Radio. They are indie business owners, and they are, as Barbara just described, leading their homes or maybe even co-leading them with their partner and also leading their businesses. That's Monday, May the 14th. And then on May the 21st, Kelly Spiewak of the Art Institute will be here to talk about bedrooms as the new home office. We can all probably relate to having that laptop in the bedroom. If it's not there all the time, then certainly it's there sometimes, because if you work from home, you can't get away from sometimes doing work in the place where you also sleep. That's on May the 21st. We're going to be back in just a minute or so with Barbara Kay. She's talking about change and how we can adapt to it quickly to bring more success into our lives and our businesses. This is Indie Business Radio. We'll be right back.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to Indie Business Radio. We're here with Barbara Kay, author of The Top Performer's Guide to Change. And before we took our break, Barbara gave us some great ways to relate change to the people around us so that we can frame the change in a way that lets others around us in our organization know how they too can adapt to it. And Barbara, there's some benefits to doing that that far outweigh just the immediate benefit in a business context, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, people are loyal to people more than they're loyal to organizations. And there's been studies around, and I don't know, I heard recently this one might be disputed, so I say it somewhat tentatively, but the study I read some years ago was that 80% of people who voluntarily leave an organization do so because of a broken or uncomfortable relationship with their immediate supervisor. That is real. There's been a little dispute in the business literature if that's true, but we all know that we're loyal to people more than a building or more than a brand. And so if you as a leader can speak to the personal, can project optimism, can communicate as much as possible, you will create loyalty within your team, and that will be very powerful because people will do a lot for team if they feel that they're well cared for and someone's watching out for them. And there are two more tips I'd like to add that I think will actually help support the leader as well as the people. Number one is celebrate every single success that you have during change. I think for many of us, particularly those of us who are entrepreneurs or drivers, what I call drivers in the world, we have a tendency to focus on what's next, what's the next goal, what's the next task, what do I have to knock down next? And we can lose the opportunity to look back and recognize our successes.
Right.
And what happens is we get exhausted with all of the ongoing challenges, and our people get exhausted because all we see out there is effort, 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 or challenge, challenge, challenge. So during change, when there's many challenges, one of the most powerful things you can do is to stop and notice very specifically and truly celebrate every success, because it creates a lot of energy and positive optimism if we notice and celebrate what's gone well, and it gives us the energy to move forward. The second
if I could just say, I wanted to thank you for mentioning that, because I think most of my listeners are women, and not only do they not celebrate their successes, or I should include myself in this too as a female, we just have a tendency to not only not celebrate our successes because we're so busy, but also there's just this sort of innate thing that there's something wrong with patting yourself on the back in our society.
Oh, yes. Yes, I totally relate. Men do not, I love men. I have a wonderful husband of 23 years who I absolutely adore. But I notice in general, women seem to have a harder time, and I put myself in the same category, patting ourselves on the back.
It does. It makes a difference. I think you're right.
And absolutely. So not only is it hard on us, but sometimes women are willing to do things for others that they're not willing to do for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So if you, as a woman out there, are thinking, well, I can't pat myself on the back, you know, that would be, blowing myself up or puffing myself up, think of the benefit it is to the people around you, mm-hmm. because they're tired. So if we don't give ourselves opportunity to celebrate, we're also taking that celebration away from them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really important to do that. The second thing, and I think it's also true, can be true for women, is sometimes we think we have to do it all, and we don't go out and get help.
We don't have to do it all, Barbara?
Oh, my goodness.
Can you say that again?
We don't have to do it all. And more.
Where does that come from that we think we do?
I don't know.
Well, for small business owners, to be fair, sometimes it comes from the fact that we don't have enough money to pay other people to do all the things for us. But aside from that, there does still seem to be this dynamic in our lives as women.
Well, and I also think in our country in particular, we have pull yourself up by the bootstraps mentality. We have sort of a lone ranger, be the hero, do it on your own kind of spirit. Mm. And there is some very powerful studies done by a group of people they call thrivers. And in the studies, these thrivers were people who were under horrific circumstances, and yet they were able to rise above them in their life. And they found a commonality that was true to every single thriver and was critical in their ability to get over very extreme challenges. Mm-hmm. And that was they got support. Mm. They did not one person who succeeded did it alone. Not
right.
one.
Right.
They all went out, and these were people without resources.
Mm-hmm.
These were not necessarily business people. This is just sort of generally people who were overcoming challenging situations. These were not people with a lot of resources, but they made sure they went out and they got mentoring, and they got people who would support them or advocate for them. They used every opportunity and resource that was out there for themselves, and they didn't try to do it alone, and they succeeded. So my second point is that can be very helpful for the leaders is don't try to be a lone ranger. You can be brave in front of your troops, but you are going to need support someplace else. Go out and get it for yourself, because you're going to need that energy when you go back to lead your troops. And if you're totally drained, you're not going to have it.
Right. Right. Excellent
so
point.
I thought that was very powerful that not one of these people who thrived did it alone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, along those lines, too, when change comes in a small business owner's life, a business-wise change or a family change, there's so much overlap, so it's even more important to have that support system in place.
And not all support systems are hiring staff.
Mm-hmm.
There are organizations that business owners can join to just get moral support. In the family environment, there's lots of support in communities, in schools, in social services, in houses of worship, where you can get support.
And you could even start your own.
You could even start your own.
Because there's so many people, you know, all across the country who are bootstrapping businesses, you know, small, teeny-weeny, mid-size, all shapes and sizes, and that support that you can get. It's one of your examples is to kind of, you know, think about what you can do and act.
Right. And the other thing is, if you get together with people who are having similar challenges, that's fertile ground for creating great solutions. If you all can get together and say, our postage is going up, what do we do? Mm-hmm. You can sit around a table and say, how can we be creative about solving this? And maybe there are some things that the group could do that you wouldn't do think on your own. But the fertility of all talking together about how to solve the problem will help bring support, help people feel better, and who knows, you might come up with really creative solutions.
Do join us if you have a question or comment for Barbara Kay about change, 800-773-0355. Barbara, in your book, The Top Performer's Guide to Change, Essential Skills That Put You on Top, you talk about the sabotaging S's. Can you tell us a little bit about those so we can avoid them?
Yes. The sabotaging S's are stick, sink, and shove.
And stink would be sabotaging too, right?
Yeah, stink would be sabotaging too. It stinks if you have these three S's.
Right, right.
Stink and shove. And these are things that happen when we operate out of fear and we get totally overwhelmed. So stick is where people just become utterly stuck. They're just literally frozen in the corner and their feet are like stuck in 2 feet of mud. Mm-hmm. And they just become just paralyzed. They're paralyzed with fear. And one of the most powerful things in change is to realize you have control over what you choose, what you believe, and how you act. And you can get out of the mud. So the stick is when we just don't do anything for our own benefit. Sink is even worse than stick because it's when we start reactively doing things that are negative. Sometimes people get overly challenged and they start sinking because maybe they begin to self-medicate, you know, in unhealthy ways in order to deal with the stress. And sometimes self-medicating is alcohol and recreational drug use. Sometimes it's escapist activities like spending all your time on the internet or spending all your time watching TV or watching movies. Now, I say that recognizing that when we're under stress, we do need positive rest and positive recreation. We cannot be constantly working. But sink is when we move into escapism and we're not dealing with reality. And our recreation is now 24 hours a day. So sink is when we start doing things that are actually negative. And then shove is, and I don't think a lot of people go into sink, but, you know, sometimes we have that tendency. And then shove is when we get our pride up and we shove help away. We either are afraid to be embarrassed and we don't want people to know that we're struggling out of some sort of sense of pride. I would call it false pride. Or we just feel like we're just have to do this on our own and nobody should help us. And so we begin to shove away the very people in our lives that would support us, and we become more and more isolated. And all of those things, just sticking in the mud or doing negative behaviors or shoving away support, are very, very counterproductive. And if you find yourself doing that, it's time to get out of the corner and do something different.
Barbara, can you comment on how that first S, the one called stick, how it really is, of course it's being stuck, but can you comment on how it is also actually making a decision?
Oh, yes. There's a psychological thing that we do in our heads, and somehow we believe that not making a decision or doing something passively isn't really an action. So I somehow can absolve myself if I haven't actually done something. So we don't realize that not making a decision is making a decision.
Yeah.
And everything that we do is making a decision, even making the decision not to do something. So we kind of pull the wool over our own eyes, and we somehow think, if I just avoid this, or if I just don't deal with it, or I just do nothing, I haven't made a decision.
Right.
And so one of the ways we need to deal with this is to literally recognize that every single thing we do and everything we don't do is making a decision. And one very simple way to do that is to write them down. If people have a hard time realizing where they are with that, they can sit on a piece of paper and they can write down under two headings, things that I did, decisions that I made because I did not do something. And write that down. And I would have a feeling if you have way lot of items under decisions I made because I did not do something, and you have all your items under that column, I think you might want to evaluate whether you're kind of in the stuck mode.
Yeah. Barbara, can you comment on how people who deal with depression can manage through some of these issues? I know that just recently, you know, of course, it's difficult to read any newspaper or magazine, no matter what the demographic of the publication is, that doesn't touch upon the increases or the seeming increases in numbers of people in this country who suffer with depression. What kinds of suggestions in terms of, I know your book talks about positive attitude versus pessimism, what kinds of things, you know, outside of going to the doctor and getting treatment for yourself, what kinds of things or mindset suggestions can you make for people who are dealing with these issues?
Well, first of all, I am trained in clinical psychology, and so I would say that if somebody out there is really, really struggling with depression to the point where they are not able to get out of bed in the morning, they are really hampered and not able to function normally, then absolutely it might be time to go into a psychiatrist or get referred to a mental health clinician who can help you with medication. Because for some people, their depression is so deep that it is a biological malaise over their brain chemistry, and they need that biological support to help move out of that. For the rest of us who are what I call discouraged or challenged in such a way that there's some pretty good discouragement, there's been some good studies on the impact of gratitude. As a matter of fact, a university guy studied a group of people, and he had them write down as simple of an idea of five things they were grateful for every single day. That's all they had to do, write five things they were grateful for every single day and focus on those things. And in 6 months, their mood, their optimism, and their productivity had changed dramatically just because they had chosen on a daily basis to focus on what they were grateful for. So for those of us who are finding ourselves discouraged because of our challenges, you know, there's an old Bible school song, count your blessings, count them one by one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's kind of the idea. Sit down every day and think about, what am I grateful for?
Focusing on the positive.
And that will help you specifically get off the negative. The second thing you can do is specifically focus on opportunity. There was a good study by a British researcher about lucky people, and he found that lucky people actually behave differently than unlucky people. So it's not like they have some sort of magic. They actually act differently. And one of the things they do that's very different from other people is they seize opportunity and they look for new things around them. And because they're out there looking for new experiences and ready to seize opportunity, they tend to get it.
Yeah, and it all goes back to that attitude, as you said at the beginning. Well, Barbara, your book, The Top Performer's Guide to Change, certainly outlines a lot of the concepts that you've been sharing with us today. Tell us how we can get in touch with you at your website or otherwise, and where can we buy your book and hear more about your services?
Thanks very much. The book can be bought online at Amazon.com and BN.com, which I believe is BarnesandNoble.com. It also would be at your local bookstores. You can also reach me personally at my email, which is Barb, B-A-R-B, at Advantage Coaching, which is all one word, AdvantageCoaching.com. And my website for my organization is www.AdvantageCoaching.com. If you'd like to contact me directly, feel free to email. I would be very happy to respond to people at barb@advantagecoaching.com.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Barbara. Indie Business Radio is a production of Indie Business Media. Visit indiebusinessmedia.com for more information. And don't forget to visit our conference website at indiebusinessconference.com to get information on how you can join me for our third annual Indie Business Conference, August 2007 in Charlotte, North Carolina. It's been great having you today. I hope you join again next week when we're going to be celebrating Mother's Day. In the meantime, this is Donna Maria saying enjoy your life, Build your business and have your way.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.